I'm going to be reading from the Gospel of Mark. I know we're all anxious to hear what Steve is going to share with us. The first part of the title of the sermon is, How Do We Navigate? As I saw that, I thought, that's what I want to learn. How do we navigate? Not just the election, but many things in life. From Mark 12, haven't you read this passage of the scripture? The stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Then the chief priests, the teachers of the law, and the elders looked for a way to arrest Jesus, because they knew he had spoken the parable against them. But they were afraid of the crowd, so they left him and went away. Later they sent some of the Pharisees and Herodians to Jesus to catch him in his words. They came to him and said, Teacher, we know that you are a man of integrity. You aren't swayed by others, because you pay no attention to who they are, but you teach the way of God in accordance with the truth. Is it right to pay the imperial tax to Caesar or not? Should we pay or shouldn't we? But Jesus knew their hypocrisy. Why are you trying to trap me, he asked. Bring me a denarius and let me look at it. They brought the coin and he asked them, Whose image is this? And whose inscription? Caesar's, they replied. Then Jesus said to them, Give back to Caesar what is Caesar's, and to God what is God's. And they were amazed at him. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noting that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, Of all the commandments, which is the most important? The most important one, answered Jesus, is this. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. Well said, teacher, the man replied. You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart and with all your understanding, with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices. When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, You are not far from the kingdom of God. And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. While Jesus was teaching at the temple courts, he asked, Why do the teachers of the law say that the Messiah is the son of David? David himself, speaking by the Holy Spirit, declared, The Lord said to my Lord, Sit at my right hand until I put your enemies under your feet. Blessing, Steve, as you come and share with us.
In my video that I sent out a couple days ago, I asked the question, what one word best describes your emotions or your attitude this election season? And I wonder if anybody thought about that and even would be willing to share it. Might feel a little too personal, but wish it was over, okay. Fear, okay. Anxiety, baffled, dumbfounded. Apprehension, yeah. Concern, yeah. Ambivalence, yeah. My working hypothesis is that, this sounds like I'm on, right? Yeah. Is that, a majority of, if not all, would be more on the negative side. And it's okay if you, it'd be fine to say excited. But my general sense is that we're not feeling great about the season. And so I want to talk about that. Like, what, how do we navigate that? How do we, you know, work through that in these next couple months? And, so, you know, and what does it mean to navigate this season well? You know, is the opposite of feeling negative, meaning we're like, these, if I was better with, Photoshop, I'd have a picture of April holding a Harris sign and me holding a Trump sign or something, where we're great proponents of one of the candidates or just all in this election season, really excited about it. So the opposite doesn't necessarily mean we're excited, positive, all in, you know, an active part of what's going on. Again, that's not necessarily bad, but it all depends the way we're approaching it. And that's what I'd like to talk about. Like, what attitudes, what perspectives, what way of being with other people is a good navigation of this season? I thought just for perspective, that Mark 12 passage would be helpful. I was looking for the passage that said, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, give to the Lord what is the Lord's. And it's in three different gospels. And a lot of them follow the same pattern of what's being told in the greater story here. I liked here in Mark where just the whole frame of it, it really starts with the parable about the tenants who reject the owner sends different representatives and they reject and kill all these people being sent by the owner. He even sends his son and they kill him. And then Jesus makes the point, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone. He's prophesying of who he is. And then he gets into that conversation or actually with others, gets into that conversation about, what is right as far as paying taxes and so forth. And just that general sense of give what is due to Caesar, to the government, what is rightfully there, but give to God what belongs to God. But then he really speaks about what his kingdom looks like and how to give that the proper honor and make that the center of your life. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To love your neighbor as yourself. And I'd like to add into that to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with God. You know, these are the ways of the kingdom that we give ourselves to. And then he concludes by again, designated himself as the one who sits in the highest place, and one day all of his enemies will be put under his feet. So just to give perspective that we are part of an eternal kingdom which is already breaking through, and we're living out its ways as we love God and love others and walk humbly with the Lord and do justly and love mercy. But we're also part of these other kingdoms right now as well. Another perspective, thinking about Jesus. Jesus was one who was on the sidelines as far as not relying on the religious power structures and the governing power structures, to accomplish his mission or to take on authority. You know, I found it interesting. I didn't notice this till this morning in that Mark passage, the Pharisees and the Herodians. The religious people and the governing people both came and questioned Jesus. Jesus didn't rely on those authority structures for his power and authority. But Jesus was great at bringing people together from different political persuasions and different social groups. And the one example I want to give is the zealots and tax collectors. Jesus in his inner circle brought in a zealot who would even resort to violence in order to overthrow those Romans, whatever it took, maybe even self-sacrifice. But then a tax collector who did the bidding of the Romans, who was in cahoots with the Roman authorities, Shirley must have had very different political outlooks, maybe even more, probably more than any that you would have with, you know, someone in your life. But somehow Jesus was able to bring them together along with many others and to be in relationship and to work for something that superseded their own political persuasions and convictions. How can that be a challenge for us? We tend to isolate often into our comfortable circles of same beliefs, and in that grouping not be able to hear from others, from the other side. There's this law of something, which I forgot to write down, but generally saying that when a group of people with homogeneous beliefs or same beliefs get together, they become more extreme than their most extreme individual. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but I could believe that. When groups are so like-minded, they can become so extreme in their position, even beyond their most extreme person. They just really solidify in that position, and it's harder and harder to hear anything else. A lot of what I'm sharing today, I was influenced by this video curriculum that I worked through. It could either be for individuals or a small group. It's called The After Party. It's by a group, by Redeeming Babel. But just their hope is that through these videos and reflecting on it, your focus would be less on the what of politics. What policy, what party, what candidate is most Christian or that you will stand with, and more on the how of politics. How do I relate to others, including those I might disagree, so that I might better reflect Jesus, or that we might together come up with something even greater than one or the other. But from the what, the policies and so forth, to the how. How are we working together to govern, to speak on these issues. Going from these ideologies to greater spiritual values. And the two that they emphasized were hope and humility. So to navigate well is to carry hope and to carry, humility through this season. Hope is, the key word I think of is prevail. What would you like to have prevail? What do you see being established or winning out in the end? Whatever it might be a political ideology, a certain platform. It might be a candidate, but it might be something greater than that. The kingdom values, the kingdom purposes that we see in Jesus, and the purposes of God that have been unfolding since the beginning. And so to think. What gives you hope for the future? Is it the political process? Is it a particular candidate? Is it God's sovereignty over all of this? Is it that God will work through the church to bring about his purposes? Is it trusting that even if the political process seems to be a mess, the goodness, like the salt of the earth people, everyday people in our communities will hold things together? You know, what is it exactly that gives us hope? In whom or what do we hope in, and how do we see that coming about? Like, even when we think about, even if we say our hope is in Jesus, we could see that in very different ways. You know, James and John had lots of hope in Jesus. He was going to reign. They were going to be at his right and left hand reigning over Israel and overcoming the Romans. If you saw that, I remember that article by Mark Wenger, it was in the Lancaster paper, but then it was in the Anabaptist World, and he had a picture of, I think it was the side of a truck, a trailer, and it was suffering Jesus, crown of thorns, weeping, I think. But then the backdrop was a flag and a fighter jet, you know, and so the image of Jesus there was the one who would overcome, the American Jesus who would bring victory. And I think Mark Wenger said, I agree with that suffering Jesus, that savior of love. I'm not sure about the rest of it. So how does this political process or the conversations that come with it give you hope or not give you hope? How might you express your hopes and what you would like to see prevail? How does that come forth in what you say? And does it reflect your own self-interest or does it reflect the kingdom of God? These are the things that we have to ask ourselves as far as hope. And then there's also humility, and that's more our interaction with others, our respect for other people, and also our respect for the complexity of life, the complexity of what it looks like to govern. And so we listen to others. We learn from others. We don't have all the answers. We treat others with kindness and respect throughout the process. And so they created this graph, which I can't draw lines in PowerPoint, but if you could imagine a horizontal or an x-axis and a vertical line here, so that there's four quadrants there. And the up and down has to do with our level of hope, our level of hope in what that certain things would prevail, would come into being. Upwards we have high hopes, down lower hopes. And left and right is our humility, our ability to know that things are more complex. I need the understanding of other people. I don't have all the answers. I want to collaborate with others along the way. So if you think about this with those four quadrants, if you have high hopes of things prevailing, but you're low on the humility scale, you have all the answers and you want to win and have your things prevail. So you're going to be combative. I hope that makes sense. You're high, you want things to prevail. You trust they will. You have all the answers and you don't need to hear from others. And I bring these up to say, wherever, in all these different ways, are you in that at all? Probably if we're honest, there's a little bit of us in all of it at times. But if you go down below that, if you have low hope that things will prevail and low humility, like you've kind of checked out interacting with others, then you're cynical or I think for me, the word checked out or the words checked out really, you've just kind of, like I said in the video, I'm going to live in a tent for the next 2 months. I don't need any of this. I don't need to be engaged. Going to the right, you have high humility. You see there's complexity. You're learning from others, but you don't have much hope that things will prevail. That's the exhausted ones. You're just kind of overwhelmed with the political ads, the rhetoric, the, you know, all that's going on. You don't have much hope of things coming about, even though you see the needs, you're aware of the complexity of what might need to happen. You're exhausted by the whole process. And then the upper right would be the disciple. There you have high hopes that things will prevail, but in collaboration with others, and with God as a disciple, to see the possibilities and to have this ever-expanding understanding of what is best and how we could work together at that. So as you look at that, just to yourself, think about who you are there. What comes across most strongly? If you're the combative person, where are my descriptions here? You know, you need to listen more. You need to open yourselves up to that things might be a little more complex than you think. You don't have all the answers. How can I grow in my understanding in constructive conversations with other people? For the cynic, the one who's checked out, if you could just begin to take a step towards hope and towards collaborating with others, just to give you a sense, you take one step forward towards what is good or towards what is just, begin to see that actually people are good, or there is hope that maybe we can begin to move towards something better. Where you're just stuck in inactivity and that you're just disengaged from everything, take a step forward and see how God might work in the midst of that. For the exhausted, and I put myself there, and how I felt challenged in all this is, how can I begin to engage a bit more? How can I begin to share my hope in the midst of these conversations? Kind of take that step of engagement, speaking the hopes that I have. For the disciple, keep on going. Surely you haven't perfected life and faithfulness, but continue to be open to the voices of others and continue to have hope that that things might prevail and grow in the positive direction. So as we navigate well, we can move towards hope, we can move towards humility, we can move towards a greater kingdom allegiance, or to hold on to the allegiance we have to the kingdom of God and be faithful to that. I resonated with an article. It was in Anabaptist World. I'm not sure when. I just ripped it out to read later. And it was by Tyler Huckabee was the author. And he said this. He said, "I'm less interested in joining a Christians for blank movement, you know, Christians for Harris, Christians for Trump movement, than I am in being a, quote, Christian with particular and occasional, even contradictory politics, who's forced to make a strategic vote in this two-party system and will ultimately pull the lever for the candidate that seems more likely to hear my side out rather than the other candidate." So I hope that made sense. But kind of this realization that as someone who's trying to be faithful to Jesus and the kingdom of God, I'm not going to fit neatly into this camp or this camp, where it's just a clear, just pull this lever and it's all good. But that in this mix of where my faith leads me on the political spectrum, I have this strategic choice to make of which candidate, which positions and so forth best reflect who I am and what I believe. And it's going to be a lot more complex maybe than a simple binary choice. You know, when I think about where I'm at with immigration, or where I'm at with gun control, or where I'm at with abortion, or where I'm at with how we're engaged in military things around the world, you know, it surely isn't going to fit into a neat package. I don't believe. I guess some would believe that, you know, that it would neatly fit into one of the two parties. But just this challenge not to let our kingdom values, the call that Jesus has on our life, the, what we understand to be God's purposes, to get overridden by putting our full allegiance to a particular party or movement or platform or individual. I guess in saying all that, I'm not saying you can't be, you know, a worker for a particular candidate. But it just creates this challenge. How in the midst of, as I'm supporting and right in the midst of a particular election cycle and working for this candidate, how can I do it in a way that I don't join in with the demonizing of the other side, the hateful rhetoric, the, you know, all the things that we've been saying here? How can I stay true to my faith in Christ and the values that I understand there? One other thing that Tyler Huckabee says is, when we pledge allegiance to one political candidate, like when we're just completely all in, no questions asked, I think he's saying, we surrender a lot of the power that we have in a democracy. Our political influence comes not just in our votes, but how we use our voices, and maybe we could say our daily witness. So when we're just all in on this particular platform, we lose that ability to stand outside of it and say, I don't agree with that. I think that is damaging or destructive. I don't believe that's for the common good. That doesn't speak to the powerless, you know, whatever it might be. When we're all in, no questions asked, we can't step back and say, that's not right. Or that I can't let that be a part of my life. I can't let that be a part of my what I'm supporting. So our witness gets corrupted or watered down with if we just fall completely in line one side or the other. So rather than just pledging our complete allegiance to a particular, again, person or platform, we can pledge ourselves to some particular actions. And Donna sent me something from Jim Wallace that here's some things, you could even, something you can sign, but we pledge these things as we go through the election process. Things like we pledge honesty. There's a lot of half-truths or even outright lies that get floated around. I will not be a part of that. I will try to dedicate myself towards only speaking what I believe to be honest and true. Upholding the values of all people, especially the least of these. I will go beyond my own self-interest towards that which is good for the greater population, even the world, not just the self-interest of my country even. I will love my enemy, not just the enemy maybe of the U.S., but that my neighbor, who I kind of look at as an enemy because of what stand they take politically, or the enemy on Facebook that I'm going back and forth with. I will be a peacemaker. I will work to reconcile rather than further stirring up the inflammatory junk that's out there. I will approach this with humility, as we've talked about. And I will never lose hope. We're people of the resurrection. We're people that believe God prevails, his sovereignty, his kingdom ways will ultimately prevail and are already breaking in. So I'm not going to lose hope. So just in conclusion, I'd put this political season in the same category as other life circumstances, illness, difficult work situation, a broken relationship where, you know, it's there. It's there to deal with. And this, you know, the ugly rhetoric, the things that might be just, we see as outright wrong that's going on, you know, it's going to be there. But in the midst of that, we can still navigate through it, just like we navigate through an illness or any kind of challenge that we face in life, to reflect our Savior. So I'll navigate this time with hope. I'll navigate this time trusting overall in God's sovereignty, that Jesus reigns today and forever. I'll relate to people with love and respect along the way. I'll invest in what is right and just and honors God, even beyond the political process. I'll care for myself and I'll care for others during this, what might be a hard time. And I didn't say much about how we care for ourselves, but just to put it out there, we need to be able to step out of this, hearing this stuff all the time, create that time of silence or disengagement for our own health, mental health. We know that politics and earthly governing won't ultimately bring out the fullness of God's goodness and justice, but and we have ways beyond politics and governing to invest in this world and what is right and just. But we do live in a democracy where we have a voice, where we can participate. And even if it's not, we feel like it's the ultimate way to bring about what's good and right, we can offer what we can, and try to be faithful in that. So just a challenge. What steps can you begin to move to take in this particular direction? And Nelson said he appreciated his brother-in-law who could go next door where someone had a Trump sign put out. And he didn't go over and say, how can you vote for that person? How can you vote for Trump? How can you vote for Harris? Those kind of things. But just said, I see this sign. What do you like about Trump and his candidacy? You know, a nice constructive question. You know, how can we reflect that kind of thing? And it's always harder when someone starts out with the inflammatory statement. You know, like, what do I do with that? Do I even want to engage in that? You know, those are hard decisions we have to make. But how can we maybe bring down the temperature instead of increasing the temperature? And how can we still speak truth, not completely disengage? You still want to speak truth into that, but not in ways that further inflame and move away from good communication and respectful dialogue. So it's one of those things, this is a lot easier to say than do. And I'm up here saying, man, I'm not good at this at all. But it's a challenge for us. This is what we're called, who we're called to be, I believe, in all the seasons of life. So I should have said this in the beginning. I did want to create a little bit of space. If anybody has a follow-up comment, you know, that somehow addresses how we apply this, not to give a political opinions back and forth. If you'd like to respond in any way, in a way that says, you know, thinking about how you actually live this out, if you have anything to speak to it, be welcome to do that now. Anybody have any kind of response right now? This is better maybe to talk about at the lunch table or whatever.
Kind of along the lines of what you said about Nelson, I have a neighbor who is very, very definitely focused on one candidate and all in. And I was really impressed and encouraged the other day when she was visiting at my house and she had found another neighbor down the street who had a different sign in front of her yard. But instead of getting into, which has typically been her style in the past, like an argument and just kind of raging, she actually said, "Why so-and-so?" and started a conversation. I said, "Way to go." So it can happen. This is not a person of faith, by the way. So it was a real encouragement to me.
And just one other real quick thing that I thought of was with the scripture reading that we had today where Jesus had to be asked, you know, should we pay taxes or not? Basically, is this Jesus's or is this Caesar's? They're not one and the same. So we do have to choose sometimes, and Jesus is the one who needs to take priority. But it's important to remember that my government and my God are not the same thing, and sometimes I feel like we can live that way.
Lord, we know that as we live out lives of discipleship, hope and humility are not just how we deal with elections, but all of life. Give us a hope that your ways would prevail in our own lives, in our church, in this world, in the grand eternal scheme of things. And give us a humility to not be self-seeking, but to seek the good of all, to honor God with our lives, to interact with others with respect and love and concern, and be able to, with gentleness and respect, speak truth with love. It's a difficult situation to navigate this election time, especially this year, it seems. But show us the way by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.